I'll tell you what, after Cheryl and I, God brought us together a few years ago, every time that she had any kind of a problem, she'd come to me and I'd pray for her and she'd get healed instantly. One day she came to me and she said, honey, look at this little thing right here on my chest, right here. I said, okay, I see that little thing. She said, I don't like that. I don't want that on there. I want you to pray for that, that it to be gone. So I laid my finger on it and scratched it and commanded it to be cursed in the name of Jesus and fall off and go away. Well, the next day she come in, she said, pray over that thing again. It's still there. I said, okay. So I laid my hands on it, prayed for it again. The third day she came, she said, pray for that thing again. And I prayed again. The next day she got up, she said, where have you sinned? I said, what makes you think I've sinned? She said, every time you pray for me, it happens instantly. This has been 3 days, and it hadn't happened yet. So you've got to have sin in your life. God has spoiled you rotten, honey. She said, but I love it. Yes, I would love that too. I do love it when he spoils us rotten, and he is a good God, is he not? And all the time. And when we obey him and do what he says, wow. Just like right here, if we commit our sins and we go to the church, and we happen to go to a church that's got a pastor that believes in anointing with oil and laying hands on the sick and praying for them in faith, how many people should get healed every time they do this? There should not be one single person that does not get healed. If you, what is your part? You got to do what? Commit your sin to the Lord, right? You have to confess your sin. Well, what if you've been grumbling and complaining and you don't confess it? You ain't going to get healed. What if you have not been submitting to your husband? You ain't going to get healed. Isn't that amazing? And God said all those things. Now I want to go to that 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now then, but if that's the only few scriptures we had in God's Word under the New Covenant, how many of us should be able to get healed? All of us. That's exactly right. If that was the only one. But it works. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. I want to show you what... I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. Now, under the King James, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Okay, let's go to the next verse. As followers of Moses, they were baptized in the cloud and the sea. Verse 3 and 4. And all of them ate the same miraculous food, and all of them drank the same miraculous water, for they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. So how long has Christ been around? He didn't just happen 2,000 years ago when he come from the womb of a mother, did he? No, he's been around forever. Then it says in the next two verses, yet after all this, God was not pleased with most of them. Now, how would you like for God to say that about you when you die and go to heaven? How would you like for the king when you walk in and say, Lord, who are you? I said, Lord, I'm Thurman Scrivener. He said, oh, I want you to know I ain't too happy with you, son. You really didn't do a very good job for me down there on earth. You didn't go to church very often. You didn't tithe. How would you like for the Lord to say that to you, Alice? You don't want that, do you? I know what you want to hear. You want to hear him say, come over here, my dear, and hug me. Oh, you're such a wonderful, sweet daughter. Is that what you want to hear? Yeah, that's what everybody wants to hear. But let me tell you, that ain't going to happen to everybody. Because he's not happy with some of us. Look what he says here. He was not pleased with how many of them? Does that kind of fit the church today, you think? I think so. He's not pleased with most of us. Wow, that's scary. And he destroyed them in the wilderness. He done what? Who did that? God destroyed them in the wilderness. These events happened as a warning to you and me. Is that what that says? Oh, but you know, God under the new covenant, he's a God of love. You know, he would never do none of that kind of stuff. He's sweet and loving. I can be the meanest guy in the world, and I can go get saved, and then I get baptized, and then I can go out and live with somebody out of wedlock. I can lie to my wife. I can cheat on all. And God, he understands. Oh, you don't think that's true, huh?
No.
No, I don't either. I mean, he didn't understand it back in these days, and since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8, he never changes. God the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's the same then, he never changes, does he? No. So if he didn't like this back in those days, he doesn't like it today. And he destroyed them in the wilderness. These events happened as a warning to us that we would not crave evil things as they did. I know none of y'all ever crave anything evil. You know, some of you girls go and say, ooh, look at that pair of shoes. I got to have that pair of shoes. Ooh, I got to have that pair. Or if you're a guy, ooh, look at that toolbox there. I got to have that. I got three of them at home, but I got to have that one more, you know. I know none of y'all ever done that besides me and Cheryl. Do we crave things? Yeah, we really do. We really do. I will have to say, Cheryl's got lots of shoes, and she has craved shoes, but when somebody comes along and needs a pair, she thinks, don't even think twice about giving them one of, even some of her shoes that are expensive. She'll give them away. So I know that's why God blesses her, because she's a good giver. Then it says, these events happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things that they did. Verse 7 and 8. Or worship idols as some of them did. For the scriptures say that people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged themselves in pagan revelry. Now, we don't ever do that, do we? Boy, you cannot turn on the television set without seeing that. It's wicked. It's awful what people do today. I mean, drinking. They were feasting and drinking, and they indulged themselves in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did. Oh, I know nobody in the church ever would possibly be able to get involved in any kind of sexual immorality. A Christian would never do that, right? Oh, I'm wrong, huh? Well, let's see, if you knew this, it might make it a little easier for you not to do that. And we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in how long? You think God likes sex out of wedlock? So then why do so many people do it? They call themselves Christians. Ooh, is he a merciful God? Now then, once you get married, that's your wedding present, right? Sure. I mean, God's, who made sex? God did, absolutely. He made it, and he made it as a wedding present, and he gave it to you and your mate when you get married. But until you get married, you ain't supposed to touch each other. No sex. In fact, when you read that part, God says, I personally will judge every act of sexual immorality in the church. And you want to know why we got so many people that are sick and afflicted? I can tell you why. Because they're not obeying God's word. You know, I mean, how many people do I know that have went to church and got saved and heard this crazy nonsense, especially what they used to teach in the Baptist church, once saved, always saved. You can go out there and you can do anything you want to do. You can go down that aisle and get saved, and then you can go down there and be baptized, and then I'm saved now. I mean, God will forgive me. I can go out and do anything I want to do, and I'm okay. Let me tell you, that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture says you are to be holy, and once you get baptized and raised out of those baptismal waters, there is to be no more sin in your life from that day forward. No more. You're to walk holy and obedient to His Word forever. That's what He says. Zero sin. And so God said, if you go out and commit sin, I will judge it. Some men wonder why they come down with prostate cancer. Every time a man comes to me with prostate cancer or something wrong with his prostate, I tell him, you got a sexual problem. You're looking at the women where you ain't supposed to be looking at them. You're looking at pornography, or you're doing something that's sexual to bring that on you. When you commit sexual sin, it's going to bring prostate cancer on you, or problem with your prostate. If men, all you got to do is repent of your sins, kick the devils out, and claim the redemption from the curse, and you can be completely healed. But don't go look at the girls in the wrong place no more. Y'all see where I'm coming from? How many men do you know when a pretty girl walks by, they say, whoa, look at that. Y'all know what I mean? I mean, I remember one day a guy was in my office. He was a businessman. He was sitting there, and he was talking to me about his 16-year-old son. He said, I do not know what's wrong with my son. Said, he is eat up with sex. All he talks about is sex. And all of a sudden, one of our real pretty secretaries walked by my great big plate glass window going by, and as soon as he could see her, he stopped talking to me, and I watched him. Then she went out of sight past the window, and he turned around and started talking to me again. We were talking in a little while. He caught her out of the eye. She come back going the other way. He stopped talking to me, and he followed her. I said, I can tell you what's wrong with your son. He said, what? I said, you. I said, you got a chip off the old block, son. I said, that's all you doing. I said, that pretty girl walked by, and all you did was lust for her all the way across and all the way back. I said, your son's just like you. Isn't that a shame? But that's the way it is. your sin will be passed to your children to the fourth generation. If you're not walking in faith. And that man was not walking in faith. Isn't that a shame? 23,000 of them died in one day because of sexual immorality. If God were to release these death angels to do the same thing today, and I think He is to a degree, I think there's a lot of people dying, and they don't understand why they're dying. Men in the church are dying, women too. I mean, women are doing stupid things too that they ain't supposed to do. And when they do, they come down with all kinds of sickness and disease. That's just like that woman, Cheryl and I ministered to a woman. She had three children, I think. And when she came out, I said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "I have cervical cancer." I said, "So where's your husband?" She said, "He's in prison." You got a husband in prison, and you got one, two, three kids, and the youngest one looked like about three or four. I said, "How long's your husband been in prison?" She said, 2.5 years. I said, "Okay, so all these kids his?" She said, "Yes." I said, "So are you sleeping with somebody since he's been in prison?" Well, she said, "Of course. You know, I mean, I enjoy sex." "Are you a Christian?" "Yes." I said, "What do you not understand? Zero sex without your husband." Well, she said, "You mean it's wrong for me to sleep with a guy who I'm not married to?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. That's why you got cervical cancer." I said, "And you want to die and leave these three kids by themselves?" "No." I said, "Then you have one alternative. That's to repent of that sin and never let another man touch you besides your husband." I said, "Then and only then can you get healed." I said, "If you don't, you're going to die. That cervical cancer is going to kill you." She was being attacked in the area or with the part of her body that she was using to sin with. And that's what the Scriptures teaches. Isn't that amazing? How many people understand this? Not very many, I don't think. Okay, let's go on just a little bit further here. And let's see what... And this is in the New Testament. Then he says, "Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died, and then they died from snake bites." You know what snake bites are today? Demons.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, "God Will Command the Blessings to Overtake You," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.